When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is the top of one of the last weeks. Well, actually, the last week of 2021. And around the world, people are cautiously hoping that next year will be better than the last. Hashtag no counting crows. As we speak, I don't know about you guys, but I encountered a lot of really disturbing news. Omicron is, as you hear this, almost regardless of where you live, unless you are listening on North Sentinel Island, Omicron is running through your community. So please be very careful. But we are keeping this show going. There's also a thing where monkeys, for some reason, are mass murdering puppies. True story, throwing them out of trees.
Jeez.
We're not going to do that today. Today, we're going to talk about the ongoing problems with Amazon, with workers' rights, with moves toward unionization, and with the great injustices of late-stage capitalism. We'll talk about high-level, nearly genocidal efforts at pest eradication. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the future breathing through your ass. These are all true stories. let's go in just that order we laid out. Now, Noel,
I'm excited about how we're going to connect these stories. We'll find a way.
Yeah. Like human centipede style, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think maybe we start with a story you found, because all of us have had close eyes on the ongoing controversy with Jeff Bezos's company, Amazon, which is an absolute giant in the world of shipping. You may not know it, but the bulk of their money, folks, for a long time has been in something called Amazon Web Services.
Sure.
Still, We've all heard horror stories. Many of our fellow conspiracy realists have written into us talking about horror stories working in some capacity for or with Amazon. And the recent news of the tornado was devastating and tragic. But just because that story has left the news cycle doesn't mean the story ended. That's something we always try to emphasize. And when I saw the headline for what you posted, Noel, this just blew me away. It's one of those headlines that already has like three terrible questions just in the first sentence, right?
Yeah, it does. The headline I found on Motherboard is, "No one's life is worth a package." That's the quote. Amazon workers are organizing for cell phone access. Wait a minute, hold the phone, literally, or don't, or put it in some sort of like, you know, RF proof case, that, and then you'll receive it back. What is this, a Dave Chappelle stand-up special? No, it's apparently work. Many of us take for granted the fact that we are allowed to, you know, be treated like adults at our work. And surely, you know, we're not supposed to be messing around on our phones during work hours, but it's important to have those phones to be connected to the outside world, to loved ones, to parents maybe that are dealing with health issues, especially in the midst of a pandemic. And apparently,
children with
child care, with schools closing, who knows, any number of things that are incredibly necessary to have a tether to the outside world for, so that you can act accordingly. But we already know that Amazon has some pretty inequitable, to put it mildly, policies around all kinds of stuff. We hear horror stories about people not getting bathroom breaks, having to urinate into jugs and all of that kind of stuff. And apparently, and I didn't know this, I don't know if y'all did, but they have had a policy in place where you're not allowed to have a cell phone when you're working in one of their warehouses. That policy was suspended, I think, for a bit because of COVID and all of that stuff, but they're talking about putting it back into play starting in January. And as a response to that, Amazon workers in the Mid-Atlantic region, thousands of warehouse workers in that region are organizing or signing petitions to, especially in the aftermath of this horrible collapse of an Amazon warehouse in Illinois that killed six Amazon workers, have signed the petition to allow workers to have their phones for just the reasons that I laid out, which are pretty common sense reasons.
No, that collapse was due to the tornado. Tornado system that went through?
Okay. That's right. It was. And there's another sort of side story that I wanted to mention, too. This is only being reported in one place. We'll get to the cell phone bit in a second. But from Nexstar Media Wire, there is a report that a particular Amazon employee who, for obvious reasons, remained anonymous in Edwardsville, Illinois, was instructed. And now, drivers are a different story. They obviously have to have a cell phone for, you know, reasons of communicating with their hub, you know, with their supervisor and all of that, for getting information and all of that, and updating, you know, on routes and what have you. But apparently when a shelter in place order came through, in addition to, you know, sirens indicating inclement weather, shelter in place, this employee in Edwardsville, Illinois, allegedly texted in to their supervisor, who and said, "Hey, things are looking really bad. I need to come back." To which the supervisor replied, according to a screenshot that was sent to this news outlet, "Okay, just keep delivering. We can't just call people back for a warning unless Amazon tells us to do so." About a half hour later, the driver said that they were hearing tornado alarms, but was told again to just keep delivering for now, at which point the driver responded and said, "I'm hearing a shelter in place warning. There's nowhere suitable to shelter in place other than the van that I'm in," which is obviously not a suitable place to shelter because it's a van.
All the places they were delivering to were closed. I found this
everything
in Deseret.com as well as Bloomberg. Like, the back and forth is crazy. The most dystopian thing I saw in the full interchange
was the supervisor eventually said, if you decide to come back, the choice is yours, but I can tell you it won't be viewed as for your own safety. Safest practice is stay exactly where you are. If you decide to return with your packages, it'll be viewed as you refusing your route, which will ultimately end with you not having a job come tomorrow morning. That is an unhelpful ultimatum.
It's not only unhelpful, it is just egregiously neglectful. The final communication that was shown in the screenshot sent to Bloomberg was the sirens are just a warning. Of course, not very long after the warehouse did collapse, the roof fell in, the area was hit directly by the storm system, and things went very, very poorly. So that's, you know, part of the issue. It's separate from the cell phone story, but, you know, it just kind of shows the culture that we're dealing with in Amazon. And there's another part of this petition. Apparently, Amazon is very bad about having people come into work when conditions such as floods, snow, ice, and heavy storms are well underway until they've gotten the word that packages on freight vehicles, trucks and rail and the like, are not going to make it to the warehouse. So they are clearly prioritizing the delivery of these packages over the safety of their employees. I think the chain of events here makes that very, very clear. So they are not only asking to have their phones not taken away. There is a quote from a source that was interviewed for this piece in Motherboard saying, taking our phones away isn't about safety. It's about controlling us. And last week, or this was from just a couple of days ago, workers at six Amazon warehouses in New York City and Washington, D.C. areas delivered petitions to their supervisors, their warehouse managers, asking for just this, to not have the phones taken away and to be compensated for work if they show up. Because what has ended up happening is that they will show up only to realize that the inclement weather has caused the packages to not be delivered to the warehouse via the larger freight delivery, and then they're sent home with no pay. But they've already made the potentially, you know, hour long or more commute, and then they have to get home. And if they're in an area like New York where they're relying on, you know, commuter situations like metro or rail or what have you, and then those systems have been shut down, what are they forced to do? They're forced to pay out of their pocket for things like Uber or Lyft. And there was a incident cited in this article where someone had to take a nearly $100 Uber back home, or a Lyft rather. And what does that mean? That is essentially they're paying out of their pocket for more than they were compensated for showing up in the first place.
Right. Which means people might eventually very easily be literally unable to afford going to work. Just the cost of going to work. It's kind of like that depressing moment anybody's experienced if you've ever worked in food service, where you're making something, be it a burger or a quesadilla perhaps, and then you start thinking, well, I get paid X amount of dollars an hour, and this cost X amount of dollars, so how much in time would it cost me? Is this 30 minutes of my time, this quesadilla? It's a brutal reality.
Ben's hungry again, everybody. Yeah.
Well, I mean, a quesadilla is a beautiful thing. There's no question about that. What's not a beautiful thing is the idea that someone literally has to choose between getting paid and taking care of their kids. One coworker with two children of this person that was quoted is said to have been dealing with an issue with their special needs children. Quote, there are frequently urgent situations where she needs to tend to them on the spot. If the school calls and says to pick up your kids for an emergency, the schools will call Child Protective Services if you don't answer, claiming neglect of your children. Amazon is making parents choose between foregoing pay or foregoing childcare. The focus is never on workers' well-being and always about being productive.
Eesh.
Yeah, it's really rough. And another worker was quoted in saying what I just said a minute ago, but better to hear it directly from the person living it. Quote, the only factor they consider with snow is if the packages get to them. Someone from a Bronx warehouse was quoted saying, whether the trucks can get there and vans can get out is what determines their decision to stay open. Amazon regularly pressures people to work in dangerous weather. Last winter, we were called in to work overnight, even though a major snowstorm had already started. Many of my coworkers used personal leave time to stay home and stay safe. Those of us who came in worked briefly and were then informed, to no one's surprise, that the delivery vans would not be able to make deliveries, so work was over for the day. And this is all coming, you know, as pressure from management, who is, of course, being pressured by their management, who, of course, is being pressured by their management. And it all comes down from the top, from Mr. Bezos himself. It would seem that profits are valued much more highly than workers' safety and livelihood. And it feels like a very, very short-sighted and thoughtless policy. I mean, everybody's all about convenience, what Amazon provides, but the more and more stories like this that we hear, the less comfortable I think people with a conscience are going to be using Amazon.
Yeah, I'm really glad this is in the news now, and several of the Amazon stories that we've covered in the past, you know, what, month or so, maybe 2 months. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad we're getting to talk about this stuff, because we do, it is such a simple, convenient service that we all have on our phones now, where we can just get things. And we sometimes just imagine that it is that simple, but it is, it, you know, what Amazon does, the logistics required is ridiculously difficult, right? And that's mm-hmm. from each individual person that is like having to figure out how these things, how everything gets from place A to B to C to D, and then finally to your house. And then all of the individual human beings that are actually moving that single package. It's ridiculously complicated, and it should be more expensive than it is, right?
True.
I mean, it just should be.
You could say the same thing about the livestock industry, right? My friends who are nationals from other countries are routinely astounded when they see how comparatively inexpensive stuff like high-end steak is in this country. These prices are, for a number of factors, lower than they should be, you could reasonably argue, if you factored in the prices. And if anybody out there is listening and working for Amazon, would love to hear your experiences, your war stories. We want to bring visibility to this. We also know that, I mean, it's a Leviathan, like you said, Matt. It's something that some people will have difficulty trying to not have any involvement with or any interaction with at some point. The thing that gets me about this is going back to that earlier example of the anonymous driver who was texting her supervisor during a tornado. You'll be happy to know, I guess, at least, that this driver did survive. They were finally allowed to shelter in place because the building, the warehouse, was not able to take packages. That was it. Because the place they were supposed to go literally fell apart and 8 people died. The supervisor finally said, well, okay.
Okay, I guess I'm convinced now. And this article in Motherboard was by Lauren Kaori Gurley, and the other one I mentioned from News Nation, citing the Bloomberg report, was by Michael Bartimoro from Nextstar Media Wire. And just to wrap this up, there is a statement from an Amazon supervisor named Maria Boschetti, or not a supervisor, rather a spokesperson, who previously had denied to Motherboard that Amazon exhibits this type of behavior, pushes workers to show up during inclement weather. And this is what she had to say. Quote, "The safety and well-being of our employees and the drivers who deliver our packages has always been and continues to be our top priority. We did, in fact, close sites in advance of Hurricane Ida and have closed sites, ceased deliveries, or delayed shifts when appropriate in other events involving hurricanes, flooding, winter storms, high winds, or wildfire smoke. And we closely monitor ongoing weather events and follow the guidance of state, county, and federal officials on the decision of when to close a site. We evaluate different scenarios and have closed sites when appropriate." This sounds like a company line, a lot of talking points exhibited here, not surprising, but it does kind of run counter to all of the evidence that we've seen, you know, in real life. And it's also worth mentioning that the supervisors who were presented these petitions refused to receive them, right? Like, what's that about? I mean, I guess that's a policy, right? They're told we do not take petitions directly from employees. So they are essentially saying, we do not hear you. We will not hear you. We're going to cover our eyes and ears and be like those little monkeys in those little figurines that you see at thrift stores.
Yeah, I think the word, the official word is you have to have petition prime. They have to have that service to be able to write directly to a supervisor. And if, thank you, Matt.
They can get a 30-day trial of that. You get a 30-day
trial petition prime. But if you don't keep your membership, then you are terminated on day 31.
Exactly. It's rough. It's heartbreaking. And it's something that we should all consider when deciding whether or not to give this company our business. But it's also one of these things where they are essentially eating the cost of this delivery fee and passing it on to the safety and livelihood of their actual employees.
Well
and
said.
In order to do that, they have to maintain the bottom line against all odds. No way around it. Otherwise, they're going to start having to pass on those raises and humanitarian kind of, you know, acts toward these human beings to the customer, which in their eyes would be a sign of failure, you know. And Bezos does not seem like a guy that likes to walk back anything. So it's going to take something big to make this happen. And with that, let's take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor. And then we'll come back with some more strange news.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and we're heading out to Silicon Valley. Well, kind of. We're going to go on the map, if you're all following along with your maps, to San Francisco, California. The Bay Area. Vallejo herself. If you're looking at San Francisco and then you go due east, almost exactly, about 30 miles, you will find a small island system called the Farallon Islands. And if you take a look at it from the map, you may just say, oh, I didn't even know those were there. But then if you take your mind back to the times of Discovery Prime, ooh, remember them Prime Discovery Channel days?
Oh, yeah.
When it was all about just discovering things in the ocean and on Earth. Well, you may have seen many a shot of these beautiful this beautiful island system, everything from puffins to all kinds of bird species that have been shot by many a nature photographer exist and live on this island system. And not the Faroe Islands, just that's a different place if you're thinking of that one. This is a different one. This is near San Francisco. It's beautiful. I'm telling you, it's awesome. And you've seen images of it. I promise you. So we're going here to talk about a rodent problem. You ever had one of those where you live? A rodent problem? I have.
Thankfully, no.
Oh, sounds rough.
I actually taught my cats. Well, I say taught, it's their natural inclination, but to hunt them, which is a shame because rats are so astonishingly intelligent. As a matter of fact, I know this is off tangent, but if you're looking for a good book to read, there's a wonderful book about the history of rats, which is just called Rats. It's available now. I would recommend thriftbooks.com. But yeah, sometimes you have to get rid of these for the safety of human beings, right? Mice can carry disease. They can absolutely demolish food stores. Historically, they can be a problem for human beings.
Yes. Rodents of all type, not just rats. In this case, mice, cute mice, little ones. They're really cute, actually. But there's a lot of them. And they're on these islands and they shouldn't be there. Sea lions and some other mammals exist here or like frequent these islands. And for a long time, humans have showed up here for various reasons. The mice came along with those humans. And they're an invasive species. They are taking over. And this has been a problem for well over a decade. And, you know, scientists have known about this. This is a protected wildlife area where they realize, oh, this invasive species needs to be fixed. We need to get rid of them. Not only are they eating this very specific cave cricket that lives only on this island, they're also eating salamanders that exist on this island. They're disrupting several other species that live there. And the entire time it has been debated, well, what the heck do we do? How do we get rid of all these mice? And one of the most prominent ideas was to kill them with poison. Let's just rat poison the absolute crap out of that island system and get rid of all these mice. There are many, many an issue with this, and that's what brings us to today's story. We're going to jump to a story from way back in 2019, and it's from The Guardian. It was written by Alyssa Greenberg. The title is Truly Astounding: Inside the Farallon Islands Battle Against a Plague of Mice. I would recommend you read this first because this really sets up the whole issue. And it sets up the concept of dropping thousands of pounds of rat poison onto the island system as the solution to get rid of all these mice. And back in 2019, they're describing the plague-like situation there. There is a person named Pete Warzybach who describes it as, sometimes you'll see the ground moving as mice are burrowing their little tunnels underneath the ground. You'll see the back and forth beginning in 2019. And you can read that if you want to. And we can go over all of these, like the minutiae of this if you want to, guys. But really, the main takeaway is that if you drop rat poison on that island system, and even if just the rats eat it, some other things, like there's a burrowing owl species that lives on the island, they consume the mice. And if you have a bunch of poisoned mice and those owls are consuming the mice, then the owls aren't going to be doing so great. The other problem is these things are like pellets, essentially. The poison is distributed in pellets. And there's a seagull species that would eat those pellets right up.
Because seagulls eat anything.
Yes.
Matt, is there a concern that this would get through the food chain to humans at some point?
Probably not. Shouldn't affect the humans whatsoever, just the species that exist there. And we're talking about, I think, 300,000 birds that frequent that island, again, as well as sea lions and other mammals. Just things that could, the mice could present a problem. It's specifically, though, I've seen it mentioned that owl species and the salamanders.
It's also, there's a problem with the specific type of poison, right? It has a bad track record. But to set the stage, I think you mentioned this earlier, there's something like 60,000 mice in total. And if you look at the island, that translates to something crazy like 1,200 mice per acre. So there's not a way, they're in a pickle because there's not a way to specifically target like one area where the mice are. It's every acre.
Yeah. You got to carpet bomb that. And that's what the experts are saying. The people who figure this stuff out, these hard problems, are saying the only way to get rid of all these mice is to get rid of all of them by deploying poison across the entire system. So that's the 2019 article. I would jump forward just a little bit to a Mercury News article that was posted in June of this year, 2021. It's written by Jeremiah Oetting, O-E-T-T-I-N-G. It again just shows that this theoretical plan of poisoning the rats is moving forward a little bit. It's going to be discussed by a couple of very important groups who then actually decide whether or not this idea gets greenlit and action is taken to make it occur. Then you can jump to a San Francisco Gate article that came out on December 17th, 2021. It was written by Andrew Chammings, and the title is "Controversial Plan to Drop Poison on the Farallon Islands Gets Green Light." Mm-hmm. And that just means that the people who needed to approve it have approved it, specifically the California Coastal Commission. This was approved as we record this the previous Thursday. We're recording this on 12/21, which is one of my very good friend's birthday. Happy birthday, Josh. It's official. It's going to happen. Helicopters are going to drop this rodenticide.
I don't know.
There's an
Alice in Wonderland, man. Just vibe.
Rodenticide. But yeah, it is actually happening. And we have a quote from one Jane Goodall, who happens to be, one of the most distinguished conservationists on the planet.
Oh, that Jane Goodall, the gorillas in the mist one, right?
Yes. She's saying the no-brainer thing here. Dropping super toxic rat poison like this will, quote, inflict pain and suffering on a great many sentient animals. Which
true.
Is true.
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't the issue, too, they're doing this also supposedly to protect the birds in the first place?
Yes. Yeah. It's to protect several species of those cave crickets that are native to that island system. The salamander, a few salamander species, correct me if I'm wrong on that, that exists there that they're trying to protect because the rodents do eat those salamanders and their eggs. Becomes a major issue. They also compete for the same things the salamanders eat.
I was confused at first, though, because I almost was thinking that we were talking about this was already happening, and the rodents that were eating the poison were then being eaten by the birds, which was killing the birds, and that was the problem. But it wasn't the problem. They're eating something else that was messing with the birds, and now they're going to feed the rodents poison that the birds will then, in turn, also potentially eat, which will mess them up further.
We're discussing the plan, like the pros and cons of the plan, right? Mm-hmm. The pros are you wipe those rats out, the ecosystem functions the way it did 100 years ago, the way it should, right? Theoretically, before human intervention came through and introduced the mice to the equation. But in this case, it has not, they haven't airdropped the poison yet, but they're about to, they're going to. And I would say read this article, get an understanding of it, because it really does seem like it can cause a lot more problems. There's some interesting concepts that they've referred to as hazing, where they're talking about bringing hazing dogs out to the islands to keep the birds away as they deploy all of the you know, the poison, as well as using, I think, some predatory birds that would fly around the islands and keep other species away and prevent them from eating the pellets. And I believe firing off weapons and making, you know, loud noises to scare away birds as they're deploying it across the thing. But just imagine in your mind just helicopters on their way out from the San Francisco Bay to this island system and then just dumping this stuff with all the skulls and crossbones falling down from the sky.
I'm picturing that scene in Apocalypse Now where the helicopters
The crazy thing is, guys, there doesn't seem to be a better idea.
Right. Well, if I made devil's advocate for just like a split second, there is an environmental impact report from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that goes through, you know, all of the potential fallout, and they do say this is the best option and it is a better alternative to what is currently happening. So while this is, you know, on paper feels bad, the actual Fish and Wildlife Service, who I would argue is not necessarily the kind of agency that's in the pocket of big poison or something like that, you know?
No. So,
yeah, I know that no one's saying that, but I'm just saying, like, if you read the environmental impact report, it offers three possible options, and they believe this one is the best one. So it does seem like it's coming from a place of goodness, even if it does seem pretty whack.
Well, that's cited in the articles that you had mentioned earlier, Matt. I think that's, like, the big credibility booster for this.
Yes, I apologize. I am kind of glazing over some of this stuff, guys. It's more complicated than I'm, you know, giving you the information that I'm giving to you right now. But this whole thing is occurring. I want to offer one, because we got to move on to the next segment. I want to offer one other solution. And Ben, you already kind of brought it up in this segment. Instead of having those helicopters come over and dropping the poison, what if they parachute in a strike team of cats?
Yes.
A feline strike team gets in there and just takes them all out over the course of, you know, a couple months.
The cats will
get
the
birds.
You think
they'll get the birds?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, cats love a bird, man.
So many micro ecosystems or island ecosystems. That's why the world is littered with islands that just have mainly one, like, crazy life form, like Snake Island. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. It would be Cat Island. It would
be a cat house.
It's also part of the reason people say you shouldn't have indoor-outdoor cats, because I've had indoor-outdoor cats before, and more often than them leaving me little rodent treats on my front doorstep, they leave vivisected bird carcasses on my front doorstep. So I think they almost like those better. So this could well be a bag of cats that we do not want to open.
Okay, no, guys. I'm going to amend my previous plan. Badgers. A dozen neutered Maine Coons.
Okay,
that's it. On. They're new. They can't breed. A dozen
squad.
Of them.
All right.
Are we neutering them? Like, well, I guess that's pretty common.
They come pre-neutered.
Like, they pre-neutered. Yeah, that's a very common thing. I was acting like, oh, that's so cruel to neuter these poor. No, it's a thing you do to cats. I'm with you, Matt. We should submit this to the Fish and Game Service, and maybe they can have that as an option C.
They went through so many other things. I'm sure there was a debate about, like, is there a reasonable way to conduct mass sterilization on these rodents.
Yeah,
that would be another thing, right?
They went through that whole thing, and they believed that because of the, like, rise and fall of the population over the course of a year, there would be a prime time to try and sterilize a certain number, but the ones that survived would multiply, you know, that escaped that treatment would multiply so quickly it wouldn't work. Well, at least that was their finding. So anyway, weird situation. I'm really just bringing this up to, I don't know, say it's weird that this kind of thing, it's very important. There are brilliant people thinking about this and how to fix it. And it's still very difficult to come up with an answer that, you know, meets all the criteria that we want to come away with this thing, you know, without harming a certain, you know, without causing any harm. Right. There's never a perfect solution in these really hard problems. And I think that's, I don't know, the message of this Sesame Street episode that we're doing right now.
Letter C in the numeral 2.
Or I propose brought to you by the letter B, bratifacum, the poison specifically that is going to be used.
Can you spell that, Ben? People need to look that up. Like, look that look this rat poison up.
BRODIFACOUM. It is banned for use on the mainland, by the way.
Yes, it is.
And there's a second one, though, because the three options that this study put out, option A was to do nothing. Option B was to use this Brodafalcum 25D. And then option C was to use a different poison called Diafacanone 50. And by the way, I love the term they use here. They call airdropping this stuff in aerial broadcasting of rodent bait.
I saw that, too.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, let's see. It's brought to you by the letter H for hopefully things will work out.
For all the species that we're going to drop poison on. Oh, all right. Man. Good luck, everybody out there on the islands. If you're listening, sea lions, it's good. It was good watching you on Discovery Channel back in the day. All right. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned toward the end of the year. You know, a lot of disturbing stuff is going on, as I said at the top, but I wanted to bring something that is in my mind hilarious, because I am emotionally 3 years old, and also maybe very helpful to humans. We'll see why. The best way to set this up is with a lovely little Twitter conversation I had recently with Dan. Dan, you're listening. You know who you are. Dan reached out to me at Bimble and HSW. You can always do the same if you're interested. And he suggested this as strange news. And it immediately reminded me of some things that we see in science fiction work, like The Abyss, It's some stuff we see at the edges of medicine right now. And it's something called ECMO, because we all love a good acronym here. Dan hit me to this by saying, okay, if this doesn't make it to Strange News, I don't know what will. Why the f*** would scientists have come up with ways for pigs to breathe through their rectums? That's from Dan. It's a good question, Dan. And I want to give credit where it's due. And I started looking into this, and that's kind of the future. So like in science fiction work, you know, if anybody's familiar with The Abyss or the countless deep space exploration things where people travel out into the ink beyond the solar system, and they have to go into some kind of cryogenic state, deep freeze, right? And often they're in a capsule, and they are covered with breathable liquid. How are they breathing that? It's something that we don't really spend too much time on in the screenplays, but people are spending a lot of time on it in the real world. They're trying to figure out, they're trying to figure out, and not for the first time, how to, what we can learn from humans and, like this, Matt, mice and other rodents breathing through their assholes. What can it teach us for humans? It's all about a process called ECMO, extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. You can read a great report over by Nicoletta Lannis at Live Science. Pigs can breathe through their butts, can humans? If you want something from a paper of note, then do check out Breathing Through the Rectum Saves Oxygen-Starved Mice and Pigs by Elizabeth Preston over at New York Times. So there's a study that most of these things are referencing, and I hunted down this study, which was published in Cell.com, actually just earlier this year, called Mammalian Enteral, E-N-T-E-R-A-L, Ventilation Ameliorates Respiratory Failure. So first off, obviously this has shades of South Park vibes, right? Where there's that South Park episode where people figure they can eat with their butt. If you remember that one, we're definitely classing up the show in this one.
It also has shades of who's that Supreme Court justice who was quoted in saying he was into boofing?
Yeah, the booster, butt chugging. Kavanaugh.
That's the guy, which is, of course, either taking alcohol or drugs up your butt as well. So we know that that tissue, that vascular tissue in the anus, is very, very porous and can take in, materials and get you high or drunk and potentially raise your blood oxygen levels.
Yeah. And this story, of course, makes the rounds because it has such a catchy headline, right? And because butt jokes are funny. It comes from a really tragic place. A guy named Dr. Takanori Takebe at the Tokyo Medical and Dental University and Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center decided to study this idea himself because his father had a struggle with lung disease, and mechanical ventilators can keep people alive when their lungs aren't functioning well. But we know this equipment, we especially know now, this equipment is not always available, even before the pandemic. And these, like, other people are talking about this too. One guy, a gastroenterologist at Yale University, Dr. Caleb Kelly, originally thought it was a joke when he was asked to read the paper. But what they're talking about is multi-purposing organs, because a lot of other animals do it. For example, and New York Times cites this, there are fish that can use their gills to take oxygen from water, but they can also pop their heads above the surface and breathe. They can have a gulp of air, and the air they swallow, since they're fish, they don't have lungs, right? The air they swallow goes through their digestive tract, and their intestines absorb the oxygen. So, So what they did first was they anesthetized some oxygen-deprived mice. And while the mice were passed out, mice are getting it the rough end of the story into this week's Strange News. But don't worry, we're pro-mice folks. So they drug these mice, they pump oxygen up their butts, and this procedure helps them survive longer, but it works best when researchers scrape the intestinal wall, the interior, to thin it. I know.
You weren't kidding.
So it doesn't make it, that particular step doesn't seem super great for humans, but it does make me think, you guys, if those stories of alien abductions and probes are real, maybe they're just trying to help, you know?
Now, I have a question. Isn't this the kind of thing where, you know, if you did pump oxygen up someone, a human's anus, isn't there a possibility of getting like a blood bubble or something like that, or getting like some sort of like problem in your circulatory system that could cause a stroke or something like that? You'd have to be very careful about the pressure and all of that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's to bastardize the great Marshall McLuhan, the medium is definitely the message here that is hopefully making the day for the three people who care about that book. But it's a good book. It's not about pig's butts, I promise. I've been doing more than just that today. But to answer some of those questions, right, the dangers of maybe having these like gas bubbles, scientists tried delivering oxygen in a liquid form. So they make this chemical, like a perfluorochemical compound. And this had even been tested as a type of artificial blood a couple decades back in the early 2000s. They found that it boosts blood oxygen when an animal is really, really deprived. And they were surprised at how good it was when it came to addressing severe hypoxia, because, you know, your colon is capable of filtering substances into the body. The issue here is that we have to be very careful with the mix, too, because it's not just like the medium through which this is delivered, you know, liquid or gas, but it's also a problem of humans being able to function on pure oxygen. Pure oxygen is not what you're breathing as you listen to this now. And if you breathe too much pure oxygen, it can be bad for you. As counterintuitive as that may sound, it can have deleterious effects on your body.
Can it also get you high? Like, isn't that a thing? Like oxygen bars, or it's a way where people can literally huff pure oxygen and it makes them get more intoxicated, or it in and of itself can get them intoxicated?
Yeah, but you don't like stay there for the whole weekend or something.
It's just like a quick hit. I've actually noticed that drugstores now sell canisters of oxygen that you can, with like a nose piece on it, that you can actually, you know, huff yourself. Maybe huffing is not the right word. Maybe that's only a term that is used for breathing in paint substances you should not be breathing in.
That's real? Like
huffing?
Canisters of oxygen just readily available?
Yes, I've seen them at Walgreens.
Yeah, you guys know my neighborhood. There was an oxygen bar just across the street from the barbecue place for a long time before the pandemic. And I still didn't understand that. I think they would give you oxygen and they would also hook you up to IVs, which just seemed like a disaster waiting to happen for me. I wish them the best, but I've never been in there.
Hospital experience.
Yeah, I go to old school bars.
And just really quickly, yes, if you look online, there's a website called Sporty's Pilot Shop where you can buy a large boost oxygen, 10 liters of oxygen for $14.99. Give yourself a boost. Oxygen deficiency symptoms include fatigue, stress, loss of energy, and lack of focus. So this literally comes in a thing that looks like an air freshener, but it's got a whole thing that's fitted for your mouth and nose. You just go suck right on that bad boy. Juice yourself up.
And I want to give points to an internet forum I was reading. The first person who obviously didn't read the headline, it said, or obviously didn't read past the headline, said, pigs can breathe oxygen via their rectum, so humans probably can too. Top rated comment, what if I don't want to breathe through a pig's rectum? Kudos to you, Zopranot. So I want to bring us to, I think, a very accessible piece on this. It was on New Scientist. It was also on the French version of Slate. The New Scientist article is great. It's just from a few days ago. It's by Michael LePage. And the headline is, scientists keep inventing ways for pigs to breathe via their rectum. Right now, one of the things I want to do is try trillions of tiny oxygen bubbles, micro bubbles of oxygen, because this can work if the lungs are maybe damaged by smoke, or if they're damaged by, you know, a disease or a medical condition, but it really comes in when there are very, very dangerously low oxygen levels, such that you would have to put someone on a ventilator. So these oxygen microbubbles, they're conjecturing, can be just cycled in and out of the body. It might even be a long-term sustaining therapy for severely injured patients. They just haven't tested it out to those time points. So right now, as you listen on this little spaceship Earth, somewhere, and I don't know if this comforts you or scares you, fellow conspiracy realists, but somewhere, right now, whatever you're doing, there are a bunch of very smart people who are staring at pig buttholes, and they're thinking of how to save your life, which is simultaneously gross out humor and also kind of really inspiring. You know, this is why I wanted to ask you guys. We can get in the weeds of this, but we wanted to keep this one a little bit short. I wanted to ask you guys, if you were given the choice between having a ventilator, which is a very painful thing, you know, or having some, let's just call it backwards breathing to be diplomatic. You know what I mean? Just taking the gas in instead of putting it out. Let's be adults. The average human farts 17 to 23 times a day. It's normal. You probably farted while you were listening to this.
We didn't even think about contaminating our own oxygen supply by expelling while we're supposed to be absorbing. Anyway, I'm sorry.
He farted into the oxygen feed.
No!
I don't know. I feel like I don't want to sound like a prude, but I feel like I would go with the ventilator just because I already understand that science, right?
It's although it is, but I mean, if you get that far, we know that people that end up on ventilators, sometimes there's no coming back. So if this was a way to keep you from getting onto the ventilator, maybe it gives people more of a fighting chance.
Yeah, maybe it's maybe you can do both.
Like a DP.
One in the butt, one in the mouth.
It doesn't sound comfortable.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It would require some specialized equipment, that's for sure. By the way, this oxygen that you can buy at the drugstore, like I was saying, it is controversial, and it is a relatively new thing, likely a product of COVID, because, you know, of the very reasons we're talking about, people that are having like low blood oxygen levels because of, you know, their reaction to the virus. And it is supposedly safe, but it's the jury is still out. And I think the fact that it's not a medical grade oxygen makes it legal to sell over the counter, but it's still so new. It's kind of weird, but I have noticed it. It's at a Walgreens and CVS's. And it's weird too, because it like tastes like peppermint. So just makes it sound like something fun, you know?
Yeah.
You know, for kids.
They're marketing to kids, just like Camel and vaping. So back to Dr. Takebe and back to the idea of this this new sort of oxygen delivery in humans. It could save lives. Dr. Takebe, pardon my pronunciation there, doctor, has begun a startup in Japan called EVA Therapeutics. EVA, we're all adults here, stands for enteral ventilation via anus. As the name of his technique, that's what he wants to call the company. They're still in the early stages, but this means that clinical trials on being a butt breather can begin as early as 2022. Forward to the future, right? What a time to be alive. I'd like to end on Dan saying, because Dan followed up. Dan has been haunted by this for about a week. Dan said, you know, I believe that if we find ourselves having to develop new ways for pigs to breathe via their rectums, perhaps the problem isn't with the pigs. What scientists work on this? Is there an American Society of Pigs Rectum Journal? Do people go at pigs rectums conferences? And why is one way not enough? So more ways to make pigs breathe through their rectums are needed. Isn't there a way to leave pigs out of this? Asked Dan. I agree. If you want to join the conversation, you can always reach out to me on any number of weird stories, @AppinBolinHSW on Twitter, @AppinBolin on Instagram. We have a lot of ways to find us online, not just as shows, but as individuals.
It's true. If you would like, you can find me on Instagram exclusively @HowNowNoelBrown and answer this question. Why is the term mouth breather considered an insult? And should it be replaced with anus breather? Let me know.
You can find me on
via the US mail.
Killthemice.org. It's Matt's nonprofit.
Yeah, that's it. You find it. Maine Coon the Mice at Twitter, whatever. There are a lot of ways you can reach us as a show on Facebook, Twitter, and on YouTube. We are Conspiracy Stuff. Remember to like and subscribe on YouTube. Yeah, whatever.
And we're Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram.
And if you hear about social media and you're like, yeah, Ben, I'll send you pig rectum stories, but I'm not following a show and I don't sip the social meds. I'm terrified of what it can do to people's minds, then I agree with you. And that's why we always have another way for you to contact us. You can get a little more analog and dial into our phone number. Say it with me, 1-833-STDWYTGAY. 3 minutes. Those 3 minutes are yours. You can tell us whatever is on your mind. Give yourself a sick nickname, a moniker, an AKA. Second most important thing on that call, let us know if we can use your name on air. First and most important thing about that call, don't censor yourself. If you have a story that deserves more than 3 minutes, don't feel like you have to call 10 times. All you need to do is write it out in an email, and then you can send us the images, you can send us the ancillary links, you can send us leads. We read every single letter we get. Go ahead and drop us a line. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.